Valentine's Day. This is Sweet Life, and it's Valentine's Day. I am Brooke Peterson, and in the next half of our show, we are going to continue our theme of relationships. Valentine's Day tends to be about romantic relationships or personal relationships, love relationships, whether it's family, friends, that significant someone. But love really is about all kinds of relationships. And today we're going to talk about another type of relationship that's equally important for most of us in our lives, the business relationship. It's not easy for everyone. And yet, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 70% of all jobs are found through networking. Yikes! Oh my gosh! So much pressure! Oh, okay. Hallie Crawford is a certified career coach, speaker, and author from Atlanta, whose coaching company, Create Your Career Path, helps people identify their ideal career path, navigate their career transition, and nurture their careers. She's been coaching since 2002 and has undergrad and graduate degrees from Vanderbilt and the University of Illinois at Chicago. She has served on the board of the Georgia Coach Association and has been featured as a career expert on CNN, Fox Business News, The Wall Street Journal, Forbes.com, and more. Thank you for joining us, Hallie Crawford.
Thank you. What a great intro. Thank you.
I love myself. Yeah. It's very impressive.
I know. It sounds so much better when someone else says it.
You're right. Understood. So thank you very much for being here on this fine Valentine's Day. And our topic is about relationships. And with networking, most people do have a tricky time with networking. I can't tell you how many times networking has come up in my circle of friends over my life, and people just kind of cringe and they groan and they just... I think their stomach kind of turns a little bit. What do you say to them?
It happens a lot. My clients say that to me, too. They say things like, oh, it's embarrassing. I don't want to put people out. It doesn't feel authentic to me. So I hear the same thing often. And what I try to tell people or explain to them is, like you just said, networking is critical. It's just a fact of life. It is what it is. So you need to get on board.
Right.
But what you can do is you can find a way to do it in a more authentic way that feels true to yourself. So I think when people hear the word networking, they think of like, you know, they're going to a meeting with business cards in one hand, you know, and shaking everyone's hand, as many people as possible. And it feels like too pushy or too much like a used car salesman or, you know, one of those bad images, I think, that we have. And what you need to realize that is that it can happen in so many different ways and in so many different places. It doesn't have to be like a certain way to do it, and you can find ways to do it that are going to work for your personality type, for your goals, and it can be much more subtle than you think it will be.
Yeah, I think over the years people have that, they liken networking to schmoozing, and people think of schmoozing very negatively, and they don't want to participate, and they sort of blanket that along with everything else, and then they just decide to not participate, like you said, and they just really do need to get on board because it's a fact of life, right, in the business world.
Yep.
Okay. So what are the most common mistakes that you feel like you see in the people who come to you?
I think there's a lot of them. I think one is complete avoidance of it. Mm-hmm. I think two is people are not as assertive as they need to be.
That's the problem.
Find like the right style of it. So, for example, they might reach out to a contact and ask for help or something like that, but they don't continue to follow up with them, or they don't actually ask for what they need. They're not as assertive or proactive as they need to be. So if you're going to bother to take the time to reach out to someone or, you know, take them to lunch or spend time with them on the phone, you need to be assertive. You need to let them know what you need help with and be direct about it. Of course, ask them how, you know, you can help them as well, so it's not just about you. And then after that, continue to be assertive and follow up with them. So,
and what does that mean to follow up? Like, how would you follow up with somebody after having a conversation like that?
Well, for example, if they refer you to another connection or, you know, hey, read this article, I suggest this, or attend this association meeting or something like that, let them know what you did with the information they gave you. So continue to touch base with them on a regular basis, not every single day. Maybe it's once a month. It kind of depends on the relationship and how the meeting went and what you all agreed to. But touch base with them and let them know what you did from that meeting. because then they feel like, oh, this person is proactive, they're on the ball, and my time spent with them was helpful. It makes them feel better because they can tell that they've helped you. So at least follow up with them that one time. And then depending on, you know, what you all have talked about and what you're asking for help with, continue to follow up after that as needed.
Okay. And what are a couple of the easiest fixes? Like if you were somebody right out of college or somebody in a career transition, which I know is one of your specialties, how do you suggest people to begin their networking career?
Yeah, I think this is interesting, and it can especially be tough for people who are either in college or just out of school, because, you know, they haven't been doing this yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who are older and, you know, have more experience and a longer career, they've just met more people, you know, so they have a broader network as a result. So what you need to do is, one of the first things I suggest is start networking now. Start developing it and seeing this as a tool, networking as a tool, and your network of people as a tool that you can use throughout your life. So it's something like the foundation of a house, if you will, that you're building now that you can use through the rest of your career. And you can start small. It doesn't have to be huge. Try to keep it less overwhelming for yourself. So say, make a list of like 3 to 5 people that you know, either classmates, professors, friends of your parents, you know, if you're in college, that kind of thing. So start with your immediate group of friends, et cetera, and make a list of 3 to 5 people, those people that tend to, you know, be connected or know other people, be more social, however you want to describe it, that might have some good contacts for you. And just start developing those relationships. And if you're in the job search mode, obviously, let them know what you're looking for. Ask them if you can stay in touch. And ask them if they have connections that you could talk to and conduct what I call informational interviews. And we can talk about that in a moment if we need to. But conduct informational interviews with people in industries that you're interested in getting into. So you can learn if that's the right path for you to take career-wise after school. But so you can also start to develop those networking connections. And I think that small step will get you going. You always want to, kind of a second step is you want to make sure that you're keeping your contacts organized. So like use an Excel sheet or something like that, or address book, however. But you want to make sure that you've got a list of these networking connections that you're creating and keep a good record of their contact info and what was said in every meeting, along with any action items that you want to take or have, like follow up with them, etc. Okay. And then we've got the whole, you know, LinkedIn world too, which is a whole another animal. And it's something that I feel is really important. It can be kind of overwhelming for, you know, people in school or just out of school, but it's something that's critical in your search. You were referencing, you know, the hidden job market and how so many 70% of jobs found out there are found through networking, which is exactly true. And these days, most companies, or I should say many companies, are reporting that up to 80% of their recruiting efforts are conducted through LinkedIn.
Really?
They're like bypassing recruiters sometimes. They're just going right to LinkedIn and trying to find candidates. So a third step is, and if we keep it basic, a third step would be to create a basic LinkedIn profile. And just get that going for yourself. And honestly, even if you're still in school, I would suggest it. To get that up there so that you can start creating networking connections that way. You can connect with your friends. You can connect with professors, family, friends, whomever, who are on LinkedIn. And that can be a stepping stone, too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but about LinkedIn, just from personal experience, I do have a profile and I have collected so many, you know, connections or whatever. How can that be used to network? I mean, other than I get people who request to be, I'm not sure what it's referred to on LinkedIn, a friend or whatever, that I don't know, that they aren't actually a connection of mine. I don't know how to use that type of information, and I'm not sure why they're really even approaching me to be a connection. So how would that be used or leveraged or applied?
So here's the deal with that, and it's a very good question. People tend to take two approaches to LinkedIn, and I fall into one category. One category is that people will accept the professional connection or the invitation to connect from anyone in order to just generate a broad or a very large network. Mm-hmm. I tend to disagree with that because LinkedIn is not Facebook. It's different. It's
right.
not a popularity contest. And, you know, I actually don't connect with people on Facebook unless I know them either. But with LinkedIn, what I suggest people do is you only connect with people that you know.
Thank you.
Because connecting with someone that you don't know, I don't see how that's going to be useful
okay,
because
okay.
it's a cold connection. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I just make sure I wasn't making a big mistake without realizing it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think you're doing the right thing. I would only connect with people that you know and that should the need arise, you feel comfortable contacting them. If you don't know them, you're not going to want to do that,
right.
and that kind of defeats
yeah.
the purpose.
That's
so
what I thought. Okay.
You're doing it exactly right. Mm. I would only connect with people you know. I would reach out to people that you know. And it is the kind of thing, honestly, you're right, where it's not some magic wand where suddenly you're going to get a job. But it's interesting, in the past 2 weeks, I've had two clients who have gotten notifications from LinkedIn that their profile has been viewed so many times. It's one of the top, you know, 1% of whatever on LinkedIn that have been viewed. So I do know that even if you're relatively passive about leveraging LinkedIn, meaning, you know, you're not reaching out to people a ton or connecting with a ton of people, you have to keep in mind that employers could still be searching for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had clients get interviews cold from an employer who typed in a certain string of keywords for their area, and they got contacted for an interview.
Okay.
So at the very least, you know, even if you're not going crazy with it, connecting with people, it's good to have a good, solid profile because, like I said before, over the past several years, employers are using this more and more to go directly find the candidates they want.
Okay. Now, when you say reach out, okay, so say you have 50 LinkedIn connections and you know these people. These are like real connections. How do you use, like, what do you do with them? How do you make them active?
Well, here's what I would say. It depends on what I would do is take the list of 50 connections and kind of prioritize them for yourself in terms of how, if they're in the industries that you would like to be in, how close or how well you know them, and how helpful they might be to you. I mean, this kind of sounds bad, but it's not about using people because obviously you would help them back.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to identify, you know, say your top 5 to 10 networking connections that can be really helpful for you. Maybe they've taken an interest in you in a class, like mm-hmm. it's a professor or something like that, or a family friend, you know, or your Uncle Joe who just, you know, seems to want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do with them is approach them about your job search, let them know what you're looking for and what they might be able to help you with, and then just kind of keep them up to date as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that I use LinkedIn a lot of times is after I've met with someone to conduct an informational interview or something like that, I'll add them to my, you know, list of contacts or connect with them on LinkedIn, and then I know they're there if I need them. But you want to try to don't feel like you have to leverage all 50 connections all the time.
Right, right.
It's also a social kind of, I don't want to say social, but it's kind of like a social media networking tool where a chunk of those people are going to just be there if you need them type of thing. And you can easily keep people up to date by, you know, creating and posting status updates on LinkedIn.
Right.
But that in no way, shape, or form means that just because you have 50 connections, you have to call them every week.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of the tricky part, the balance of, you know, I don't want to be the kind of person, and I know most people don't, where it's a fair weather friend or I guess a foul weather friend where you only contact people when it's bad times and you need something. But how do you maintain those relationships through, you know, time, you know, long amounts of time when it's not necessarily an active time for networking?
How do you know the difference and the difference between the people, maybe?
Well, I guess that was poorly worded. I guess how do you maintain relationships over a long amount of time when you don't necessarily need anything from them?
Good question. No, you didn't. It was my misunderstanding, so I wanted to make sure I get it right. So Here's what I would say. I think that there's kind of an understanding in the networking world, if you will, that you're not going to be reaching out to everybody, and that isn't like you have to connect with them all the time. And I wouldn't get too worried about being a fair weather friend, like you said, because people get how it works. You know, that to a certain extent, you're going to contact them when you need them, and they can do the same. So I wouldn't get too concerned about that. But what I would do is part of this is, I guess, two things. Number one, helping them out when the need arises or when something comes up. So one of the things you can do to stay in touch with people is if you come across an article that you think would be of interest to them, you can share it with them.
Yes.
Share it through LinkedIn
or email
or something
like that. That's a great bit of advice. Yeah, I love that. That's a great bit. Yeah, that's perfect. To sort of, that actually helps. Well, it helps me. I hope helps everybody else too. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Hallie Crawford, who's helping us with our networking skills. Thank you. Stay tuned. This is Sweet Life. You're listening to LancerRadio.org, streaming live from the beautiful campus of Pasadena City College. I'm Brooke Peterson. And today, at this very moment, we are talking to Hallie Crawford. And she is a career coach based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And she's helping us today talking about networking and a different kind of relationship on this Valentine's Day. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Crawford.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So before our break, we were talking about how we can maintain relationships over long periods of time through good times and bad. And you mentioned sending people links and articles when you come across them and you think of them, which I thought was a very helpful suggestion. Anything else you can think of that we might be able to do?
Well, you can make a suggestion to them about an association meeting they could attend. You could, you know, if you come across an idea or think of an idea, you know, send it to them too. And I also, I've noticed for me that as I've built up my LinkedIn, you know, network, and it takes some time, that I'm much more able now to say to clients or friends or whatever, hey, go through my LinkedIn connections. And if there's someone I can introduce you to and it's an appropriate fit, I'll do that. And so one of the things, too, that I think people now know is I'm very willing to, and LinkedIn makes this easy, to make introductions between two people that I think would be helpful for them. So there's that tool as well, and that's another way to stay in touch. I do post relatively regular. I would say for me once a week, once every 2 weeks, regular updates on LinkedIn as well. And it's not just about me, though. It's like, hey, look at this cool article. And in some ways, so kind of building on what I said earlier about sending someone specific an article, obviously that's more personal and more effective in the long run. But sometimes you might just post something that is cool to you, that you think is interesting and might be helpful to people, and they might pick up on it as well. And it kind of, in a more passive way, lets them know what you're doing and creates or keeps that connection alive to a certain extent. And then they might reach out to you because, oh, hey, I like this. Can we talk more? Whatever it is.
Right. I love the idea with these suggestions that you're kind of taking some of the power back and participating and not just being or not just feeling like some sort of, you know, burden that you need help all the time. You're actually, you know, helping other people at the same time. I love that.
Yeah, it goes both ways. And one of the things I tell people, and I'm glad you picked up on that because it's so important, is at the end of every meeting you have with someone, especially if it's this kind of networking meeting or informational interview, you always want to ask them, either at the end or in the middle, whatever feels appropriate, but how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And they might not have something right then, you know, but the point is that you asked, they know that you're willing to do that, and you'll be able to help them along the way. I mean, I think that's one of the things for, especially for college students or recent grads, is they feel like I don't have anything to give back because maybe I'm not working yet or, you know, I don't have as many connections. I promise that you will, and know that most people don't feel like it's a tit for tat thing, you know, like you have to, it has to go right away back and forth. It will come around at some point, and you will be able to help them at some point. It's always nice to ask that, though.
Yeah, sort of put it out there. And you mentioned association meetings. How important do you think associations are in showing up to the meetings in the whole game?
I think really important. What I like about them is, while I think LinkedIn is very valuable, like we've talked about, there's nothing beats creating a new relationship, a new connection in person with someone. So typically, like the way I see LinkedIn frequently is you can make new connections there, and that's fine. But I like it, and I think that the connections are more solid if you make that connection in person. The association meeting allows you to do that. And even if you walk away with two or three people, it doesn't have to be 10. Mm-hmm. But those people are helpful for you and valuable and, you know, introduce you to more people. That's worth its weight in gold. It's not about going to these meetings and trying to find 20 people. Two or three really valuable, helpful people beat that out hands down.
Quality. Now, what do you tell people who are shy? They just, you know, it's just hard.
Well, I think it's a really good point, and this goes back to being authentic and not trying to be someone you're not, like suddenly extroverted. One of the things you can do is you can go to a meeting with a friend or a colleague where it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. You could choose meetings that you know will be a little bit smaller, so it's a little bit less intimidating for you. If it is a big meeting, though, I would just focus on connecting with one or two people, maybe on a deeper level, because typically people who are shy are more okay with not walking around the whole room, you know, and moving on every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. But, hey, let me just chat with a few people and kind of get my feet wet with it.
Right.
So remember the quality versus quantity thing. And also, before the meetings, come up with a couple of topics that, you know, you can maybe bring up. Maybe you saw a recent movie. Maybe there's an art, you know, exhibit locally that you thought was cool. Try to come up with two or three things that you could chat with someone about, mm-hmm. and that will make you feel more comfortable having some topics in hand to bring up.
Sounds good. Now, we're wrapping up on time in just a minute or two, but when you go to these association meetings, or I guess, you know, you could be in a restaurant or a church or wherever, when do you know it's an okay time, it's an appropriate time to hand out a business card or to request a business card? And then what do you do with it?
I think that it depends on, I would say 9 times out of 10, go ahead and exchange business cards, because people typically expect that to happen, even if you know that it's not this like instant connection that you guys can help each other right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of networking. So Okay. Go ahead and exchange them. I do it at the end of the conversation. I have them in my pocket or somewhere very handy, so it's not awkward. And I think what you can say is, I'd love to stay in touch, or I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. Can we exchange business cards? You can ask
mm-hmm.
permission. If you're not sure how it's going, you can ask permission, or you can just say, hey, if you don't mind, I'd like to stay in touch. Here's my business card if you're interested. So
mm-hmm.
just kind of keep it casual. It doesn't have to be formal, but come up with a way that you can say it and kind of introduce the topic closer to the close of the conversation.
Makes sense. And then after that, what do you do with the card?
Well, what I do is, depending on the person, I'll put them in my contacts, you know, my address book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I'll do, because it's the easiest thing, is go and reach out to them, try to ask to connect with them on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then you've got them. LinkedIn can be kind of like your networking address book, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do both of those things. Usually, honestly, I don't necessarily keep a hard copy because I've got it in those two places. It depends on your system.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we have been talking with Hallie Crawford. Thank you so much. This has been really wonderful. I am so excited to be able to have this conversation with you. Ms. Crawford is a certified career coach, speaker, author, and founder of Create Your Career Path. Thank you. Go to www.halliecrawford.com for more information on what she can do for you. Well, that is my time for today. Thank you again to my guests, Tammy Pickle and Hallie Crawford. You've been listening to Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson, bringing to you every week whatever helps and whatever works to make it sweet. This is Lancer Radio, streaming live from the beautiful campus at Pasadena City College. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. Up next is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. Stay tuned.